Hello everybody, welcome back to the No Sleep in Months podcast. Today I'm going to be reading the story, I Spent a Night in a Serial Killer's Murder Cellar. I will regret it for the rest of my life. This has been posted by the user r-m-standardfirth. I still don't know if I said that right. I'm going to be putting a link down in the description below to his Reddit page. And yeah, you guys go check him out, he's great. Really, really good story. Anyways, let's jump into it. My name is Clyde, and a few decades ago, my town was plagued by the horrors of a now infamous serial killer, whose name I'm now too afraid to mention. From this point on, I refer to him only as X. X is still a very well-known legend here in my hometown, as many of his murders occurred in or around my local community. Regretfully, I had the bright idea of spending the night at the property where he is believed to have murdered many of his victims. Chances are, most people know who X is, or have at least heard his name. I'll give you a quick rundown. X was one of the most notorious serial killers in modern times. He admitted to killing at least 33 women across the country, but it is suspected that his actual body count is 80 or more. In my hometown alone, X admitted to 12 murders. Local police records that have since been released show that he may have committed as many as 17 local murders. After a long raid of murder and terror, X finally met his fate at the electric chair. Now back to me. I've started a YouTube channel that I'm trying to grow. Seeing as X was a pretty high profile name, I thought that making a Halloween special vlog of a night stay at X's murder cellar would garner thousands of clicks and subscriptions. I will regret this decision for the rest of my life. Many locals around my hometown and surrounding cities have at least visited the property as teenagers. Despite efforts to keep the address under wraps, the location of the property is widely known. Although X himself actually lived elsewhere in the city, in a small apartment that is still inhabited. The local urban legend has it that his killings took place at a small shack of a cabin. The property is located just past the entrance of a beautiful forested canyon. My research shows that the cabin has since been demolished, but the cellar and its entrance are still standing. The cellar where he apparently tortured and killed his victims. To avoid drawing attention, I parked my Subaru about a mile away near a local trailhead. After making sure that nobody was watching, I took a turn off a trail into the woods, stepping off towards my true destination. It's truly beautiful in that canyon. I watched the sunset peeking through the orange and yellow fall leaves. It was quiet too. I could barely hear the gentle whoosh of passing cars on the nearby road. The only other audible sound was the rustling of leaves in the cool autumn breeze. It's hard to understand how anybody could have any violent intentions while standing in this peaceful forest of solitude. After a 45-minute hike, I finally found it. There was the cellar, standing alone in a gentle wooded clearing. It was painted white with a red pentagram spray-painted on the outside. The wooded door had a thick padlock on it, but there was a large hole in the middle, as if someone had smashed through it. Next to it, you could see the foundation outlining the small shack of a cabin that once stood there. The sunset provided a perfect time to start filming. I pulled my camera out of my backpack, holding my arm outstretched. I pointed the camera back at myself. Welcome back to the channel, Happy Halloween. Today we are doing something truly terrifying. We are standing now at the remains of X's murder cabin. I flipped the camera around to show the cellar. Inside here, down these stairs, is where he tortured and murdered as many as 11 women. This is where I'll be spending the night. Should we go inside? Honestly, I'm not even sure if this truly was X's cellar. There's a lot of conflicting information out there, but not a lot of substantial evidence. Chances are the stories of the murder cabin were nothing more than a local urban legend passed around by teens looking for a thrill. The viewers didn't need to know that, though, and it made the event less scary for me. I took the camera with me through the hole and down the dirty stairs into the dank cellar. It was dark, so I clicked on the flashlight attached to my camera rig. I pointed the camera towards various parts of the cellar room, showing the cement walls covered in graffiti, the dirty floor, and old rusty pipes. While showing the room, I told the viewers about the stories and legends of X's infamous murders, making them as dramatic and as horrible as I can. After turning on my large lantern to light up the room, I realized what I was standing on. Painted on the concrete floor was a large red pentagram. This was not a sloppy spray paint job like what was on the outside of the cellar entrance. This was a perfectly proportioned pentagram. That really should have been my first clue to leave. It was night now and completely dark, time to get the real show going. I set the camera on the tripod and focused the view at the center of the pentagram. Out of my backpack, I retrieved the prop that would draw views, an old Ouija board that I had purchased on eBay. I honestly didn't believe anything would happen. My plan was to simply make the planchette move on my own and pretend as if the ghosts of X's victims were talking to me. I showed the board to the camera and it lit a few candles for a creepy vibe. Setting the board down in the middle of the pentagram, I made circles with the planchette while chanting, "Ouija, Ouija, Ouija." Google told me that was how you started the game. "Are there any spirits in here that would like to communicate?" I asked loudly, to nobody but the camera. I slowly moved the planchette until it rested over the yes. I gave a shocked look at the camera. "What is your name?" I asked the imaginary spirit. I slowly moved the planchette letters, intending to spell out the name of one of X's victims. R-O-S. At this point, I smelt a small tug on the planchette. I stopped moving towards the E. Although I had stopped moving it, the planchette continued to move in an arc by the edge of the board. I was no longer controlling the planchette. It was moving on its own. Now I was truly terrified. This was not what was supposed to happen. The planchette completed its arc and cut diagonally through the center of the board where it curved back up. It sped up at this point, completing a figure eight and continuing to the next one. Terrified, I let go, but the planchette kept moving in figure eights. It was speeding up, going faster and faster. That was it. This was way too much. It was time to go. I got up and turned for the stairs when everything changed. Immediately, a different type of darkness fell. It was suddenly so cold that I could see my breath. My eyes and ears were deceiving me. Everything around me was altered. All sound ceased to exist. It felt like I had taken acid and slipped into a different dimension, somewhere between Earth and Hell. That's when the shadows appeared around me. These were the shadows of monstrous winged creatures. The shadows moved around the room, reaching at me. My hearing returned with a vengeance. I could now hear the horrific sounds of painstaking screams and cries, combined with the horrendous laughter of the shadow creatures. As I started for the stairs, a foul shadow beast appeared right in front of me, screaming at me as it grabbed my chest. I stumbled backwards and slipped on the wooden planchette. I fell to the ground, smacking my head on the cement ground. Everything went black. When I came to, I was walking through a house that I did not recognize. I was horrified to realize that I had no control over my movements. As I was reaching for the doorknob, I saw that my hands were my hands at all. It was as if I was living a vivid dream, getting the first-person view of somebody else's life. We quietly entered the room that was behind the door, where a beautiful brunette girl was sitting at the desk reading the textbook. I crossed my mind that I might be in X's mind, or somehow in his memory. The floorboard squeaked underneath my left foot, or whoever's left foot, and the girl stopped what she was doing. Just as she looked up, we swung down a hard metal pipe, knocking her up before she could scream. Everything went black again. Now we were in the cellar again. I was still watching from the eyes of someone else with no control over our movements. The beautiful girl was awake now, her hands and feet bound tightly with thick black strands. She was crying, begging, and pleading for us to let her go. In all my life, I had never seen someone look so scared. I saw X's hand rise, holding a kitchen knife. "No," I tried to scream, but I couldn't. I tried to take control of the body, but I was powerless. I watched horrified as X plunged the knife into the girl. He ripped the knife out, splattering blood on her face. He continued to stab the girl, stabbing over and over and over. I could hear the ribs crunching under the force of the knife, as blood splattered everywhere. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't even close my eyes. I was forced to watch the heinous murder. Finally, just after she took her final gargled breath, everything went black again. I woke up on the cellar floor as the sunlight was trickling back through the hole in the cellar door. My head pounded from the fall. I sat up, recalling that awful dream. It was relieving to be in my own head again. I remembered the events with the shadow creatures, and I thought that possibly the ghost of X had shown me one of his kills through my dream. Disgruntled, I sat up and realized that my shoes weren't on. Also, I was wet. Everything was wet, as if I'd been sleeping in a puddle. As I looked down, I realized that I had indeed been laying in a puddle. A puddle of blood. Horrified, I realized that I was covered in blood. My hands were coated in partially dried blood, and my clothes were covered in it. Panicked, I stood up to look down at the bloody mess. On the ground was the girl from the dream. She was pale, cold, bloody, and dead. I gazed at the once beautiful and lively girl, now covered in blood and stab wounds. "No," I screamed out loud. I dropped to my knees and checked her pulse as if there were some chance that she was still alive. Needless to say, there was no pulse. I hurried over on the camera, still on the tripod. The battery is dead. I fumbled through my backpack in hurried panic. At the bottom, I found the extra battery and inserted it into the camera. Hopefully, I at least caught the true killer on camera. I played the video. What I saw wasn't Dex, nor was it a serial killer or a shadow creature. The horrifying footage showed me dragging the helpless girl down the stairs of the cellar. It showed me as I used my shoelaces to bind the girl's hands and feet. I watched the video, which showed myself lifting the knife and stabbing the girl while she cried, screamed, and pleaded. My hands started to shake, and my legs felt as if they were going to give out. Every portion of me wanted to collapse, but I had to get out of there. I grabbed my camera and backpack and ran to the exit. I stopped and looked back one more time to the girl. "I am so, so sorry," I told her through my tears, then I turned and ran back to my car. After I got home, I removed the bloody clothes and stuffed them into a black garbage bag. Even my socks and underwear were soaked. I hurried towards the shower and began vigorously scrubbing the blood off my body with hard brushes and even steel wool. The puddle of blood I had been laying in had soaked through my clothing and covered me completely, covering every part of my body in blood. After I finally felt comfortable and clean, I went and sat by my bedroom window to think clearly. I needed to try and relax as much as I possibly could so I could process the events of my horrible night. Although I didn't know if I would ever be able to cope with the fact I had murdered a girl, even though that I didn't have any control. I don't deserve to go to jail for this, though, so I knew I had to cover up my tracks, as much as the thought of going back to that cellar terrifies me. After nightfall, I drove back to the same trailhead, but parked with the back of my car right beside the wood line. I had covered the truck space in plastic and 50-gallon garbage bags. My backpack now contained duct tape and 2 gallons of bleach. The plan was simple: get in, bleach the body, and knife, bag the body, and dispose of her in a random dumpster. No body, no DNA, no murder charge. I reluctantly but discreetly followed the same path to the cellar. The woods did not provide the same sense of serenity as it previously had. Now, instead of peace, I felt panic and dread. They made me jump at every last sound. I looked around, paranoid and suspicious of everything. Finally, I was almost at the property, as the exit came into view. I wanted to throw up just thinking about what I was about to do. After looking around once again to make sure I was alone, I made a quiet but quick run to the entrance. Just as I was ready to make my entrance, I realized that the hole in the wooden door wasn't there anymore. In fact, the door wasn't even wood, it was solid metal. I clawed around looking for a way to open the door, but there was no handle or lock. In fact, the metal door was welded shut on all four sides. I took a step back to realize that the cellar looked completely different than it had yesterday. Last night it had been white, today it was gray. Even the graffiti was different. Instead of the red pentagram, there was a colorful skateboarding panda painted there. I looked around, initially thinking I was in the wrong place, but everything was exactly the same. I was standing in the same clearing, by the same foundation outline. I was definitely in the same place. I walked around to the back side of the cellar entrance, where I received my second mortifying shock of the night. There was the Ouija board, my Ouija board that I had used last night, leaning neatly against the exterior wall of the cellar as if the board knew I would come back. Beside the board sat the planchette. I picked up the board to realize that there was even still blood on it. The blood wasn't even completely dried. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a light. Snapping my attention back to the moment, I could see that someone was walking my way with a flashlight in their hand. "Hey, this is private property. Get the hell out of here before I call the cops," the man yelled. I didn't need to be told twice. I tucked the Ouija board onto my arm and ran as fast as I could back to the car, getting whipped in the face by branches in the dark. I'm home now and trying to think as rationally as possible in my current emotional state. I've done my research and that infamous cellar was actually welded shut years ago. So what the hell happened to me? I reviewed the footage, which clearly shows me murdering the girl. The footage even showed the correct outside surrounding woods. I've even compared it to the existing pictures of the property. It's the same, but how was there a different door last night? The worst part is that the local news has now broken of a missing girl who appears to have been abducted. I've seen the pictures, and I know that it's the girl that X had murdered, or apparently that I had murdered. Here in my bedroom sits all of my evidence. A bag of bloody clothes, a bloody Ouija board, and most importantly, a memory card containing the footage of me murdering the girl. Everything I need to know that it really happened, and everything a jury would need to give me the death sentence. I know that although it was my physical self that committed the murder, I didn't do it. I had no control. It was as if the evil spirit of X himself had possessed my body, and I was forced to view the crime from a first-person perspective. The police won't see it that way, of course. I'm stuck with two options. I can either destroy all this evidence and try to carry on with my life, or take all the evidence to the police and turn myself in, hoping a jury rules me insane. Part of me believes that I ought to be in a mental institution anyways. Clearly I'm not well, and I'm terrified to go to sleep. What if X takes me again and I kill someone else? I'm going to take some time to make my decision, but I am writing this account to tell the truth of what happened in the instance that I do end up being arrested. I understand that it's hard to believe, I just hope my family and friends do believe me. Okay, now that was the story titled, I Spent a Night in a Serial Killer's Murder Cellar, I Will Regret It for the Rest of My Life. Again, this is by the user r-m-standerforth. Go ahead and check him out, he has some great stories on there. I will probably be reading more of him, I just have to get in contact with him again. So again, check him out, he's a great writer. And I also wanted to update you guys on something. So, I have a YouTube channel, which I will be putting a link to down in the description of this. If you can't click on the link in Spotify, you can copy and paste it. I can't type my name into YouTube for some reason. When I type in the No Sleep Limits podcast into YouTube, nothing pops up. So, I'll have to figure out a way to fix that. I'm assuming that's because I don't have any videos out there, but I'm not entirely sure. So, who knows, I'll just leave in a link there. If you can't click on it, copy and paste it, or just type it in. I don't know how else to do that. I'll also be leaving a link to my social medias, which I'll also be posting a link to my YouTube there. So if you don't want to, you know, click on the link, or copy and paste it, or type it in, you can go ahead and head over to my Twitter or Instagram, or even Reddit. I'll be posting the link there. So, on the YouTube, I will be editing that. So, I also might be re-recording it, because I do most of my stuff on the audio version in one take, most of the time. This time I didn't do it, because I kept messing up my words constantly. It was really annoying. Anyways, on the YouTube, I might be re-recording it. And I want to do the YouTube one in one take. I'm also going to be adding probably some sound effects and making it a lot louder so you can clearly, like, understand me and what I'm trying to say. So, I'll be leaving all my social medias in the description. I'll be leaving R.M. Standerforth's link and his username down there. The link to the story, I'll be leaving a link to everything. Go ahead and check it out. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. I want to get this out before 12, so I have to go. Anyways, goodbye. Hope you guys have a great day. And I'll hopefully be posting my stories every week at around 12 p.m. EST. Hopefully, that's the plan. Anyways, that is all. Hope you guys have a great day. Goodbye. Honestly, I have no clue if I'm mentioning this or I've already mentioned this before. I have no idea, so I'm gonna say it again. Sorry. Anyways, my Twitter is No Sleep Limit Pod. NOSLEEPLIMITPOD. No Sleep Limitless was taken, but that's my Twitter. My Instagram is No Sleep Limitless, and my Reddit is No Sleep Limitless. So, I think I've already mentioned this. I'm not entirely, I don't remember, to be honest with you. Anyways, you can go ahead and check it. You can check those social medias. That is all. Goodbye.